Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can never tell, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. You're gonna make it after all.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Lots to get into today. We're going to be doing baseball. We're going to be doing baseball. We got a Canuck game versus the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton. We'll be going over that. Julio Caravada will be with us. We got some NFL talk for you. But to start things off, I'm stumbling here, but I will get through it. To start things off, we have with us, live from his parents' house, the one, the only, as we get into our UBC Thunderbird Talk, T-Bird Snack Bar, Wilson Wong. Wilson, how are we doing today? Are you there? Are you there now?
Maybe you should put me on air.
Well, I I figured it out eventually, didn't I?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's tough over here now. You got this podcast to deal with. Have you had to deal with this yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you got lots of buttons to push. I don't know what's going on. I'm bad with this stuff to begin with. I'm trying to get my Mary Tyler Moore opening going.
That was also terrible, by the way.
You didn't like it, hey?
No.
What was your problem with it?
It was a terrible TV theme.
Just I disagree. As you know, right? Hello?
Huh?
I disagree.
Sure you do.
I disagree. Anyways, Wilson, let's get into some UBC Thunderbird talk. Vern Knopp, assistant coach for the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team, is going to be with us in about 8 or 9 minutes' time. But to get things going, we have a man of all variety who knows a lot about UBC sports from every facet. He's our women's play-by-play. Listen to me today. He's our women's play-by-play announcer. He does it all. Wilson Wong with us right now. Wilson, let's start off with those UBC Thunderbird women. They went, the defending CIS champions, they went to a tournament out east, went 2-1. It was a tournament. They played a bunch of Toronto teams. They lost their last game 65-50 to McMaster. Don't know if you saw any of the tournament. Well, I know you didn't see any of the tournaments or how much you followed those games, Wilson, but UBC Thunderbird women's basketball, what are we looking at here in the 2006-2007 season?
Well, actually, I mean, this is supposed to be their year, because not only do they have Kelsey Blair in her last year, a whole bunch of the great crop of 2003-2004 recruits going into their fourth year. They also have two NCAA transfers in Leanne Evans and Katie Ward, both over 6 feet, if you would believe it. So this is really supposed to be their year, and they're supposed to defend the CIS championship that they won in March in New Brunswick.
Well, also, Deb Huban told me this was her best recruiting class ever.
Yeah, and she said the same words to me a few years ago when referring to the class of people like Erica McGinnis and Julie Little, those players in that class. And now she's saying that this one is even better, and you can't really blame her. She's got two players that played for the Canadian junior national team, and Megan Pinsky from Port Moody, a big high school star here in BC, and then a big high school star from New Brunswick named Devin Listen. And Devin was able to watch UBC win the national championship at home when she was out there with the team in New Brunswick in March. So that was a pretty neat experience for her to be able to see her team, or her future team, up close and winning the national championship.
exciting experience for you going to New Brunswick?
Yeah, it was different. They converted a hockey rink to host the championship, so it was kind of weird that way. But it was really fun. The final game, you must have heard, was great because they had all those Cape Breton fans who had traveled up to Fredericton. So it was a really fun atmosphere. And the girls had lots of fun, obviously, winning the national championship. So it was a really fun time. And I think we're all hoping that we can repeat it again this year.
Well, the season will be starting October 27th at Trinity Western. CITR, we're going to be doing the men's and the women's games. So we're going to have CIS basketball starting for you guys in, what are we at here, Wilson? 11, 12 days time, something like that?
Yeah, just under 2 weeks.
Just under 2 weeks. But you're missing the first game, and I'm missing the second men's game. Anyways, keeping her going, Wilson. Men's soccer, defending national champions themselves, had a very good weekend beating Trinity Western 3-1. They beat Fraser Valley 3-1. They got to go on and take on really the top team in their conference this year. They're trying to get home field advantage in the Canada West Finals. They're going to be going to Alberta and Saskatchewan this weekend. UBC men's soccer, they won it last year. They've lost one game so far this year, looking pretty good, though, again in 2006.
Yeah, Mike Mosher, I talked to him just as the team hit the halfway point in their schedule, and he has really no doubt that his team can sort of repeat. He says, basically, this conference is one where when you get into the playoffs, you have to be peaking, and it doesn't matter whether you're in first or fourth. If you're just playing well, you can really make a run and head to the Nationals, and I think that's what he's, trying to get his team to do again this season. They beat a good Trinity Western team. That was a big win over the Spartans, 3-1. Fraser Valley wasn't, we didn't even expect them to score a goal, actually. They had only scored one goal in eight games before this, so I guess it was sort of a moral victory for them, getting one on UBC. But like you said, the big game is this weekend at Alberta. The only other time they played this year, UBC really was dominated in the second half, and the Golden Bears scored three straight goals on them after they had taken the lead 3 minutes in. So I think Mosher and his team really want to go out there and make a statement and really play well, because the last time these two teams played, it was really domination by the Golden Bears in the second half especially.
Right, so that'll be a big game for UBC this weekend. They are going to be going into Alberta, and I believe it is going into Saskatchewan. Keeping her going, Wilson, the women's soccer team, five straight shutouts. That's pretty good. Five straight shutouts. They beat Regina 5-0. They are now 8-3-1 on the season. A couple weeks back, this was a team that was in a little bit of trouble to even make the playoffs. They were fighting for that position. They are going to be going into Victoria this weekend. Victoria is actually coming to town this weekend. The Vikes 10-0-1 on the season. So UBC, they're not going to be able to win the conference. Victoria probably has too big of a lead. But here's another UBC school, Wilson. The women's soccer team looking real good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke about peaking at the right time, and they seem to be doing that. You said they were at 500 just a couple of weeks ago, and now they've rolled off a five straight shutout. So they're really looking good. Victoria, they're going to be tough. I mean, they're the defending champs in the CIS, plus they've only dropped, one game where they've tied. They've won every other game this year, so they've been really impressive. Dick Mosher, at one point in their game against Calgary a couple of weeks ago, he lost four players, and they've really rebounded from that well. And the thing is, with this team, they've got a lot of first-year players that are really sort of helping the team out with their depth. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go into the playoffs, because it looks like they've got a playoff spot pretty solidly wrapped up now.
And Wilson, the other sport, I just want to talk about a couple more sports with you, and we'll let you go. Thanks a lot for doing this. Is field hockey. How's your field hockey?
My field hockey is not so great.
Okay, well, the UBC Thunderbird women lose 1-0 to Victoria on the weekend. They will not get home field in the Canada West Championships, but they are going to be here for the national championships November 2nd to November 5th. They are the host team. Three teams from the Canada West who are all playing in the Canada West Championship are all getting to the Nationals anyways. But women's field hockey, pretty good, but a 1-0 loss to Victoria on the weekend here in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I talked to the coach, Hash Kanji, before this tournament, and before the year even started, and he says that a lot of the coaches don't really show everything their team has until the playoffs or even beyond. So it's kind of interesting to see how everything played out. But as he expected, Victoria, he said, was probably going to be the best team in the country, the best team in the Canada West, and just a little bit better, I think, in the regular season than UBC, as they've shown. But as you said, I don't think it really matters to them, because they know they're hosting the Nationals here. In the end, they're going to have the final home field advantage. So I don't think they're too worried about it. Of course, they would have liked to have won for the home fans here. But they still look very good heading in. They're also, of course, want to avenge that loss in the final last season, where they lost in penalty strokes to Alberta. And Hash Kanji really believes that this team this year is much better in terms of depth and experience than last year. So it's not something I don't think he's too worried about.
And Wilson, the final sport here, UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey, haven't won a playoff series in a really, 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 really long time. Haven't finished over 500 in about that same amount of time. 2-2 so far in the season. They go into Lethbridge. They split with the Pronghorns. They beat the Pronghorns 5-2 on Saturday. Lethbridge, a team who, UBC, you got to figure, if they want to be able to host a playoff series, they are going to have to beat the Pronghorns out this season, without a doubt. But they go in there, they split them on the road, looking real good, UBC Thunderbird hockey. They're going to have a tough test this weekend, Wilson. We're going to find out how good they are at this point of the season. The perennial powerhouse, Alberta. Is it Bears or Golden Bears now?
Golden Bears.
Is it still Golden Bears?
I know the CIS is just really stupid with names.
Yeah.
Like, all the schools are just really stupid with names. But, yeah, they're still the Golden Bears. I don't think they've changed it to anything even more stupid.
I've been thrown off ever since Vikings became Vikes. I don't. What is a Vike?
No one knows.
No one knows. Anyways, Wilson, looking real good, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. Alberta coming to town. They're going to be playing in Whistler. No home games for UBC hockey this year, but they're going to be playing in Whistler. But it should be a real good measuring stick to see how UBC does against Alberta this weekend, because they can come out with another split against the Golden Bears. You can start saying this team's looking good for this year.
Yeah, I mean, you said that if they really wanted to host, they have to beat teams like Lethbridge. I'm kind of surprised that they only got a split there.
Road split, though, Wilson.
Road,
it's a road split.
That's true. I thought maybe they would have been able to pull out a tie or something in the other game. But, yeah, this is the real big one against Alberta in Whistler this weekend. I mean, the Golden Bears are always strong, and UBC, talking to Milan Dragicevic, he says this is, you know, his best team, you know,
ever,
since he's been here. Yeah. And for UBC fans, it's probably the best team in 30-something years. So they really need to at least, I think, get a win in here somewhere, just to really build that confidence. And these road trips that they have to take, he says that it's a good way to build chemistry, if you want to look at it that way. Long bus rides for a team that's really new. He's got 10 new recruits. So I think it may take a little bit of time just for the team to really get together and play as one. And I mean, they've really had some trouble. Same thing with the women's team, just getting out to practices. They're out in Richmond at Minaru Boulevard. It takes them like 4 hours a day. It takes 4 hours out of their day to go and practice. So it's really, I think it's been a little bit tougher on these players, and it might take them a while just to really get into it.
Wilson, I can't feel too sorry for them, because next year they're playing in that spanking new $50 million arena that are yours and mine very small, mind you, tax dollars paying for that building. so they can go 1 year here. They can go 1 year, and you guys too. Wilson, my one last thing, and we'll get to Verdon Opp here, assistant coach for UBC Thunderbird men's basketball, with us. A lot of power plays this year in CIS men's hockey, and I can understand it in the NHL, where they're trying to open up the game and all this stuff, but, you know, these are guys, let's face it, in the CIS hockey, they're, you know, you're probably only going to have about 5 or 10 NHLers to come through this league in about the next 15, 20 years, maybe. Do they really have to be calling penalties like this? I mean, on the game Saturday, UBC 14 man advantages, Lethbridge 12. Do we really need to see that in CIS men's hockey?
I don't know. I mean, that's why they changed the rules to be more like the NHL with the hooking and the obstruction, trying to call all that. But, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this is the same stuff that we saw when the NHL went through all those rule changes, where you saw like 15 penalties a game, and it really slowed everything down and made it really unbearable to watch.
Well, if you want, Wilson, if you want to make it more like the NHL, they are getting it out of the game, but at least let these kids fight if they want.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. There's no way for them to take out their frustration.
Damn straight. And we need more of what happened in Miami. And who was it? Florida International?
The Golden Panthers.
Yeah. We need more of that in CIS sports.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah. I said it with sarcasm, just so everybody knows. Awesome, Wilson. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
And your first CIS. When's your first broadcast? Saturday the 28th.
CITR is doing the 27th against Trinity Western, and then we're going to be here for UBC SFU.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
You guys ready for that one? you will be. Wilson, UBC basketball's not ready for it yet.
Why is that?
Coach Vernop just said they will be.
Oh.
They're not, but they will be. What's going on here? What's going on here, Wilson, that they're slipping? Coach tears his ACL and everything falls apart, huh?
Actually, Randy Knorr had to go in to have surgery, too, eh?
Yeah, you're surviving. You're the survivor. Awesome. Wilson, thanks for coming on. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, we're going to keep her going right now. You know what? I think that's two. Talking to that one, please. I think that's two. I'm bad with that. You got to get right into it. You've done this before.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the wrong one. All right, now try. Now we're good.
There we go.
Awesome. Coach Vern Knopp with us, assistant coach for the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team. But you've got a lot on your plate personally right now. Normally players go down. That's how it works. But no offense to Coach Hansen. You'd rather see maybe him, you don't want to see anybody get injured like that, but maybe it's better for the basketball team that he tears his ACL than, say, a Casey Archibald.
No question. we don't want any players going down with those kind of injuries.
So the coaches are just taking the brunt.
Yep, we got to take one for the team, I guess.
Yeah, that's just how it works. So here we are with UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball coach Vern Knopp. So, Coach, we'll get into your weekend in a moment. You guys had a very successful trip out east in St. John's. You won all three of your games there. UBC Thunderbird men's basketball, you've got the season starts 2 weeks' time. As usual, as it's been in the last, it was about 3-4 years, high expectations on this campus. You guys went 20-0 last year in the regular season. You can't improve on that.
Nope.
You just can't. And still some playoff difficulties, losing the Canada West Championship to Victoria, then getting knocked out first round in the CIS Championship. Still, though, an excellent season last year, but it's got to be tough as a coach where it's really, the expectations are so high that it's almost championship or disappointment. Is that tough as a coach?
It's tough, but it's also exciting. You know, we always wanted to be the team to beat, and we've put ourselves at the top of the heap now, so it's fun to have the bulls on your back.
Is there an excitement for this season? I mean, is it a good thing maybe that you have some new players coming in, that it's not the exact same group as last year, that, you know, you went 20-0 last year and maybe would it be difficult for your team to maybe go through the regular season again, have to go 20-0 and then and not just wait for the playoffs? Is it good you sort of have some new blood in there this year?
Yeah, it's been really exciting for us. I think we almost have seven new faces, so trying to get them all adjusted into how we like to run things, and keeps it fresh for the returning players as well. So it's basically a new beginning. There's no talk of 20-0, and we're just ready to move forward.
And, you know, last year you had the two stars, Casey Archibald and Pasha Baines. So can I say it? Is this Casey Archibald? He's a senior now. Is it his team?
No question. It's been Casey's team probably for the last 3-4 years. So no question. It's Casey's team.
And Jordan Ugon, you used to have Carlo Villanueva on your roster.
Yep.
No real true point guard. it seems, on the UBC Thunderbird roster this year. How are you guys going
to
run the offense?
No, we have two true point guards. They just happen to be a lot taller. So Adam Friesen, guy that transferred from Trinity a year ago, he'll be our starting point guard probably next week.
He's a true point guard, Adam Friesen. Great player. You know what, but a great player, but I remember him at Trinity.
A different role. At Trinity, yeah. he was needed to score 20, 30 points a game for them to succeed. With us, he doesn't need to do that for us. I'm sure he'll have his games when he does. But as witnessed this past weekend, he does a very good job of setting the tables for our shooters in Casey and Jason Bearing. We also have our freshman point guard, Alex Murphy, who's coming in, and he's
St. George's?
St. George's, yeah. Most people around Vancouver will remember him from his high school year. He's actually stepping in as a first-year player, actually already playing above his years, so we're looking for good things coming out of him.
So last year you guys were, it was very exciting to watch, a very run-and-gun team. You guys got that ball, especially Pasha Bain, just boom down the court, shoot it up. We're going to outscore you by 20 points tonight. Is it going to be a different-looking UBC Thunderbird team this year offensively?
I hope not. No, we're, as all of Kevin's teams in the past, we want to run an up-tempo, and we've stressed that from day one. We got some guys that can get up and down the floor. New player from Manitoba who transferred from Manitoba last year. Chris Dick, who's going into his third year, first year with us. I think fans are going to warm up to him real quick. Real awesome in the open court, real athletic, shoots the ball really well. We're basically going to be playing guys, you know, all the guys coming into the floor can shoot the three well, and we're going to try to play the games in the 90s and 100s.
So that's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
I like that. So this UBC basketball team, though, I mean, what obviously, you know, you haven't had the postseason success. That really has to be what you're looking to improve upon. So how is a team, what are the facets of the game you have to work upon, you have to work on, and what are you guys working on to change from last year and the year before? It's tough. You're just trying to tweak it a little bit, but what are you trying to change?
Well, I think our defense is actually, you know, doesn't get enough credit over the past couple of years. We've actually played good defense, just that we're scoring so much, you know, or you tend to give up a few more points when you're trying to play that up-tempo style. The number one thing we're working on is our rebounding. We felt that was the biggest factor why we've had our struggles at Nationals the last couple of years, is we're just getting out-rebounded. We're making some small strides at that area, but that's our number one focus this year is rebounding.
So who are the guys down low? Because this is a team. Your stars are out on the perimeter shooting jumpers and driving to the hoop. So who are the guys down low going to be banging?
Guys down low as far as returning are Bryson Cool, who's actually just going to be playing this week, coming off a broken hand for the last 3 weeks. Matt Racher, who played for us last year, also third-year guy, who happened just at Memorial this week and had a great tournament. New guy we got from Douglas College, Cody Berg, who is starting for us right now. Another 6'8", 6'9", fella. Big guy down low, helping our rebounding, scoring inside. Basically, we're getting a lot from those three guys.
So, Matt Racher, this guy can shoot the ball too. Bryson Cool can do it. So, no worry about a lack of offense on this team. Everybody can score.
Yeah, no question. That's what we do. We pretty much have a lineup of five guys that can score at any time. And, you know, Cody will give us add some toughness down low. And hopefully Bryson's put a bit of weight on from last year as well. So he's got to also add a physical presence. And the other guy is a fifth-year player, Sean Stewart, who last year unfortunately had a lot of injury problems. He's coming back. Unfortunately, just last week hurt the hamstring again. So when we get him back, that should add some experience in the front court as well.
All right, so break it down for me, how this offense is going to work here. So you got your three stars there. Former Canada West All-Star Chris Dick.
Yep.
We've all seen, those that have followed UBC basketball, Adam Friesen, what he could do. Especially, was it 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
Pat McKay at the buzzer. I mean, he was awesome
he was.
For Trinity Western in that series against you guys and Casey Archibald. So how's it going to work? I mean, break it down. You got the three guys out there. How are you going to move it around? What are the plays? What do we got? How's
it
going to work?
That's Adam's job, is to get guys open shots. He's got to make the decisions. Obviously, Casey's still option number one, and that's not going to change as long as he's here. So after that, there's kind of a pecking order, but Casey gets the first look, and then we'll see what happens.
Who's second? Who's second on the pecking order right now? Don't want to say who's.
I mean, I'm a little biased towards the post, so because that's where I play. But you know, we got to get Cody touches inside, Bryson touches inside, and we have to get inside scoring to help, which is something we've also lacked in the past. And But we have so many guys that can shoot. You know, we bring Jason Bearing off the bench, Brett Malish off the bench. These guys can shoot the ball as well and score for us. So it's not just doesn't have to be Casey that's the only guy that scores.
And Adam Friesen, obviously, a guy can create his own shot if needed.
Anytime, yeah. He wants to get a shot off. It's that's one of the things he can do really well off the bounce.
So is that another thing, though, as a coach? I mean, obviously, you got a great group of kids here, and, you know, it seems everybody's buying into the team concept. But you want to get these guys all the shots. You got a lot of guys like to score. Jason Bearing likes to score. Chris Dick's going to want some points. Friesen, Casey. I mean, you got to get these guys shots, don't you?
So yeah. Yeah, well, that's why we got to play defense and rebound, and then we can get out in the open floor and just get layups. And, you know, there's only one ball, but the good thing about these guys is as much as they want to score, they're not selfish. They, you know, they look to get everybody else involved. Whoever's open, we try to get them the ball and take it from there.
And you guys won. You won the Memorial Tournament.
Yes.
This weekend, St. John's. You beat the St. John's Seahawks? Is that what they're called?
They're called the Seahawks, yeah.
It was a tight game.
Tight game, yeah. That was our third game.
85-82, I saw that.
85-82. We actually technically had the tournament won, had we lost just on point differential, but we wanted to go 3-0, and we squeaked one out.
Tell us about that game.
It was third game.
You're also the head coach here.
I was, yes. We struggled actually most of the game to find our legs. We had two games. The second game against Western, we had won quite handily, and Memorial had struggled throughout the tournament, being 0-2 going into that game. So I think maybe we took them a little lightly, but it was just kind of back and forth the whole way. We were down a bit coming late in, and then late in the game, and then Casey kind of took over a little bit, got a few shots, and Chris hit a nice three-pointer in the corner. And then we actually started to play defense for the first time in the game. Like last 5 minutes, we finally played defense, and I think that was the difference.
Casey, I mean, reasonable to say player of the year across the country this year?
Yeah, he'll be in the running. I mean, he was last year, and already he was the MVP of this past week in the Memorial Tournament. So, you know, he's the one guy we don't really worry about, Casey. He'll just be Casey.
And he's the leader out there?
On and off the floor, yeah. No question.
Good to have, huh? So you guys have 2 weeks. You've got, or just under 2 weeks, you got to go to Trinity to play them the first game.
Yep.
You got SFU coming here on the Saturday, October 27th and 20th, respectively. CITR, us, we're going to have all four games, the men and the women back-to-back, or women and men back-to-back, I should say. But, you know, so you're going to get a great look right away on what you're up against in the conference. You know Victoria's good.
Yep.
In the Pacific Division. You know Victoria's going to be good. I tell you, you're not going to know as much about SFU and Trinity.
No, we know about everybody in our league. I mean, it's Canada West. Everybody's tough. There aren't any easy games. I mean, last year we didn't lose to Trinity or SFU, but they were close games. I mean, there weren't a lot of blowouts. There usually aren't in the Pacific Division. So we got our hands.
Is SFU getting things back together?
Depends who you talk to. Sounds like, you know, they've had a good preseason so far. I think they won this weekend up at Thompson Rivers. So they were pretty young last year, but they got some tough players. So they always give you a tough game. Different contrasting styles. We want to run the ball, and they basically want to walk the ball up and play the game in the 50s. So should be interesting.
And I want him in here next week. We'll bring somebody else in here with him. But old Adam Friesen going back to Trinity, his very first game. He's got to be, you know, get it over right away at least.
Yeah, well, he will get a chance to get over it right away, and he's going to have to. They're going to pack their place like they usually do, and it should be kind of fun because that'll be the first time Casey's probably not public enemy number one now. It'll be that'll be all heaped on Adam Friesen, so should be pretty fun.
He was a great player there. Awesome. Vern Knopp, head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team. When did the rankings come out, or are they out?
No, I think they're out in the next week or two, within 2 weeks for sure, maybe even next week.
You expecting number one? Or
Nope. That's got to be Carleton. They've won it the last 4 years, and they deserve that ranking. And after that, it's anyone's guess. It's kind of out of our hands.
You got some roads to climb, right? Not many, but there are a few, and they're tough ones.
It's a long season, and our focus is basically begin thinking about the end, as Coach Hansen likes to say. So that's our goal.
And 20-0, are we watching that again, or you don't want to?
We didn't watch it last year. We're not watching it this year. Our main objective is just to win our two remaining exhibition games this week and get off to a good start next weekend.
Awesome. Vern, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And I hope to do a lot with you guys this year. Okay, folks, we are going to take a quick break here on Wieners Barbecue 101.9 FM. We'll be right back to you in a moment. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball, talk a little Vancouver Canucks hockey. You are listening to 101.9 FM.
Where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo.
This is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Lots to get into on the show today. Major League Baseball, of course, going on. The playoffs are happening. The Detroit Tigers making it to the World Series for the first time since 1984. When they won it, you know, Detroit baseball, it's, I don't know if it's underappreciated or they just haven't quite done enough, but they have had some awesome Tiger teams over the years. Ty Cobb, of course, I don't know if we like him, but Ty Cobb, lifelong Detroit Tiger, 4,191 hits, 367 career batting average. He was a Detroit Tiger, never won the World Series as a Tiger. Went his whole career. I think he got into a bunch, but he never won it. Then their next superstar, Hank Greenberg, leading the Tigers to the World Series championship. You know, I always know this. I always know this, but I don't today. I mean, they won it. See, 34 hit my brain, but I know it was the St. Louis Cardinals, the Gas House Gang, winning it in 1934. Nonetheless, Hank Greenberg, one of the superstars of his days, hit 58 home runs. This is a pre-steroid 58 home runs. So that was a great Tiger team back then. Then they went into a little bit of a lull. Late 60s, they got it cooking again. Denny McClain, Al Kaline, they got their World Series championship in 1967. And then 1984, Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Jack Morris, Kurt Gibson, and the boys won the World Series. So I got a little song I hunted down, an ode to Detroit Tigers baseball, who they knocked out the Yankees in round one, and then they kicked the whole hell out of Oakland in round two. I hate the wild card, and we'll get into that when we come back. But nonetheless, here's a little ode to Detroit Tigers baseball, going to their first World Series championship since 1984. 2 years ago, 119 losses. The 62 Mets lost 120. That's the worst ever. They lost 119. 2 years later, they're in the show. They're going to the World Series. Detroit Tigers baseball.
It was great to be a Tiger fan with a Georgia Peach and Wahoo Sam. They won the pennant 3 years in a row. Then Heilman led the squad, batting titles in years that were odd. Rick Stadium always had a hitting show. I'm talking baseball. Hank and Charlie slugging Tiger baseball. Schoolboy did the chucking. Goose Gosling made opposing pitchers scream. Then Georgie Kelly came upon the scene. I'm talking baseball, the Motor City team. Well, Hal and Dizzy set him down. Then Kaline won the batting crown the year before he had the right to vote.
Charlie Maxwell's Sunday fun, Denny's year of 31. The sailing was great in 68 on the series boat, talking baseball. Rocky, Norm, and Willie, Tiger baseball. McCall of Gates and Billy, Bruton, Heff, and Freehand, Harvey Keene. Lolich in the series winning three. I'm talking baseball, the Motor City's team. Now when you're talking Tiger baseball, Rusty and old Black Mike, Caesar seven hits in one, what would Mark the Bird have done? One Tiger had two slams in one game, Northrop was his name. Tigers have tradition, and Sparky's one ambition is to get them to the classic in the fall. New names join the old, another team unfolds. They're a good bet with Morris and Chet, so let's play ball. I'm talking baseball, Trammell, Dave, and Lance, Tiger baseball. Kurt Gibson and the champ, Whitaker and Hebner on the scene. Wilcox and Aurelio have the steam. I'm talking baseball, the Motor City's team. Tiger baseball, the Motor City's team.
Motown, Motown, Motown.
I'm talking baseball, the Motor City team.
Motown, Motown, Motown.
The original.
Motown, Motown, Motown.
Tiger baseball, the Motor City team.
Motown, Motown, Motown.
Here was the word from Mark the Bird.
Okay, everybody, so there you go. Tigers baseball, talking Tigers baseball. 1935, I knew they won with Hank Greenberg. It was 1935. That was the first time the Tigers did win the World Series. They beat the Chicago Cubs 4-2, and they lost the year before 4-3 to St. Louis Cardinals. Dizzy Dean and the Gas House Gang. Well, you know, MLB playoffs this year, I don't know if you listen to me, but I am an anti-wild card guy. I'm a, I don't know what you want to call me, but you can call me whatever you want. Anyways, it sheared its ugly head. We got to see the wild card showing us a reason, at least, why it doesn't belong in the National League Championship Series this year, okay? It used to be with four teams to make the playoffs. It was rough. It was tough. It was tumble. You had to be pretty damn good. Every once in a while, you'd be able to sneak in. And, you know, I think you had the 73 Mets were like 83-79. You know, the oddity. Not the common denominator. That was the exception. You pretty much had to be pretty awesome. I mean, there was a year, 93, where the Atlanta Braves won the division with 104 wins. Beat out the Giants with 103. Giants don't make it. I loved it. What a race it was. Bonds carried his team. A steroid Bonds? I don't know. But Bonds carried his team. First year in San Francisco, the last week of the season. And today, it wouldn't be that way. These teams wouldn't have, they don't have to be as good anymore because everybody's going to make the playoffs. Or it's not as hard, I should say, to make the playoffs. Eight teams, one out of four, just over one out of four. Used to be one out of eight, pretty much made it. 4 out of 30 used to make it. 2 out of 30 back in, as they say, the day. Before 1969, it was only one team. Some guy told me it was 62. I think it was 69. Only one team made it. I know it was 69. Only one team made it in each league. And now you've got, you know, you've got the three divisions. The best second place team makes it. All the division winners get in. And we saw it veer its ugly head in game one of the National League, in game three, I should say, of the National League Championship Series. I'm in a fantasy baseball pool. there are 12 of us. It's one of them keeper jobs. We got to keep eight guys or nine. I don't know. And anyways, I stink in this pool. Every year, Pete Reeser's my name. My friend Justin and I think the highest we've come is fifth out of 12. This year, we were second last. Last year, we were second or third last. Anyways, we stink. Nonetheless, we're putting our team together. Okay. Point is, game three, we got to take in our pool. You got to take three relievers, and then you probably have about eight or nine other pitchers. Some of them will be relievers, whatever. So you got 12 pitchers a team, 12 teams. It's 144 pitchers, okay? I remember that from the division table. Regardless, you take the some teams will have more, but I'll stick with 144 pitchers, okay? Now, you got to figure, if you're starting for your team in the National Championship League Series, maybe we'll have one guy sprinkled in a series in these LCSs who aren't, you know, fantasy baseball draftable material, not able to crack the top 144 pitchers. Well, here's how it went. Here's how it's gone in the NLCS. Game one for the Cardinals, you had Jeff Weaver pitching. His brother Jared's great. Jeff Weaver, not draftable. Game three, Steve Traxel for the Mets versus Jeff Suppan of the Cardinals. Both not draftable. Game four, you had Reyes for the Cardinals taking on Oliver Perez for the Pirates, or formerly of the Pirates, who the only reason he's draftable is because he was such a huge prospect. He had such a good year for Pittsburgh 2 years ago, and now he's completely flamed out. So, you know, I'll give the Mets some slack because they've had injury troubles with their pitching. You know, Pedro's gone down, El Duque's gone down, but regardless of that, even if those guys are healthy, Steve Traxel is probably still their Game 4 starter. Whew, running out of breath here. Steve Traxel is probably still their Game 4 starter. And, you know, back in the olden times, 10 years ago, that's how long it was ago. No, more than that, 13 years ago. Last time there was no wild card, 93, Joe Carter hit his home run over the wall. Blue Jays win, Blue Jays win. My point is, I'm just not a fan of this wild card. I love the divisional races. I love the pennant race. And, you know, this way, under this format, you're getting not as high quality playoff races. Playoff series, I should say. Playoff races, for sure, it's not as high quality. But the playoff races, definitely not. Definitely not. Now, can't even say it. Well, some people will, but, you know, they were better back when you had top teams in each league, two top, whoever beat out the other six teams in their divisions, that's who got to play in the LCSs. Where nowadays, you've got, you know, you squeak in, and there you have it. And also, pitching. What is going on? Somebody start teaching baseball players how to pitch again. What has gone on here? Nobody can pitch anymore. Jeremy Bonderman's been pitching awesome for the Tigers. No question about it. He won both his starts. Shut down the Yankees in that Game 4 series. He was perfect through five. Mowed him. Well, I think it was Game 4 of the LCS again. They won it. Whatever. They go out and they beat Oakland. They swept them. He comes out. Big Maglio Ordonez. It's the grand slam to win it. In the extra inning frame. Anyways, Bonderman in that game, 6 1/3 innings, 3 runs. Now, I'll break it down for you, folks. Earned run is 3 times 9. You earn runs times 9 divided by innings pitched. That's how you get an ERA. Jeremy Bonderman, and this deserved a standing ovation in that game, ERA for that particular game, 4.27. That's average. And that's what you're getting nowadays. Joe Maine, the first game for the New York Mets, goes 4 1/3, gives up a run, standing, oh, what a start. It's just, I don't know. I was talking to a guy about this today. Actually, former professional player Darren Watts from the UBC Thunderbirds played in the Mets organization. He was actually a roommate with David Wright, who was just kicking ass for the Mets. But, you know, personally, I don't know. But that's another topic. Let's get into the playoffs right now. Detroit, you know, yeah, they got in as the wild card. But you got to love the Tigers this year. You got to love what they did. Knocking out the Yankees. Stinking it up 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was. Losing 119 games. And they are on quite a roll right now. You know, I don't care who you're playing in the playoffs. 7 straight wins. They were down 1-0 versus the Yankees. Got back into that one. Took that one 3-1. And then they sweep a very good Oakland Athletics team. They're in the World Series now. National League, you know, you got Tommy Glavine going right now. It's on right now. Mets and the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's try to bring up the score right now. I got to go with the Mets in this one. I'll be very surprised if Glavine does not get the win tonight for the Mets. He hasn't allowed a run in both of his playoff starts this year. You know, I don't really like the Mets pitching, though, outside of Tom Glavine, who he's just doing well right now. It's currently, I got the game's about to start any second right now. But there's Jeff Weaver again. There he is. There's that name again. Jeff Weaver getting the start for the St. Louis Cardinals. That's the best they can come up with. Nonetheless, 2-2 is the series score. Mets and the Cardinals. I'm surprised the Cardinals have kept it 2-2. Would be very surprised if the New York Mets did not come up with a win tonight. Glavine versus Weaver. You got to take the Mets in this one. And you're actually going to have a pretty good series. It's a little disappointing, I think. I got to take Detroit if that's what the series is. We're going to be into it next week, so I'll just say it now. You got to take Detroit. It's starting pitching. You got to go with the starting pitching. And, you know, the Mets, they're doing well. They got a hell of a lineup. But, you know, Tom Glavine is the only one you look at and you go, wow, he's decent. He's the only one you look at and you go, he's decent. That's what's come down to in the playoffs in the National League this year. Also in Major League Baseball today, Lou Piniella joins the Chicago Cubs. So that's what happened there in baseball. I like that signing. You know, I'm a Lou Piniella fan personally. And, you know, he was great here in Seattle. Won a World Series in Cincinnati. Solid player for the Yankees. And, you know, Lou Piniella, like him in the broadcast booth, went down to Tampa Bay. Was not really dealt a hand down there. Didn't really have much to work with. And now he's going to the Cubs, where, you know, if Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood can't ever get healthy and then stay healthy, the Cubs. You know, but I'll go back to the Cubs. Is their new curse. Their new curse. They did it to Fred Merkel. They brought it on Fred Merkel in the 1908 playoff race. I've told that story before. I'm not going to tell it again. But Steve Bartman, they were not nice to that guy after what he did. They were not nice to that guy. And that might be the new Cub curse, although they got a goat. I give them the Fred Merkel thing. And Bartman, they've done nothing. They've done nothing since that one. All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You are on Wiener's Barbecue every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. On the show today, we're going to have Julio Caravata from the BC Lions football radio broadcast. He's going to be with us at 5:30. BC losing one to Calgary, but they're in cruise mode right now. They've already got home field clinched. They're going to be hosting the Western Final here in Vancouver on November 12th. So, you know, talk to Julie about how you really, you know, play down the stretch here. But this is a BC team. When they took it easy, you know, they were on that big undefeated roll last year. And then they end up tanking it at the end and then losing in the Western Final. Do not want to do that again this year, that's for sure. So we'll ask Julia how the Lions are approaching playing their last two games of the season, both at home here in Vancouver. I think it's Hamilton and Winnipeg coming to town October 21st and 28th. And then if he's there, he wasn't there last week, I'm giving him another shot. BJ Brian Bass is going to be with us to talk a little National Football League playoffs. Well, the big story in this town, of course, if you follow the world of sports, is the Vancouver Canucks are going to be playing in about 35 minutes' time. They're in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. The Canucks played the Oilers last night, took them by a score of 2-1. Roberto Luongo, this was called, really, I heard an announcer say it, the first game this year where the Canucks did not need Roberto Luongo to win. You know, the Canucks so far this year, it's so early, and I don't really think we've learned that much about this hockey team so far this season. But we have learned one thing, is they don't suck. Okay? They don't suck, the Vancouver Canucks. This is not a team that is going to be garbage this year. That's a very good thing. A lot of people were worried coming into the season, and they had a really tough schedule to start the season. 9 of their first 11 games are on the road. Their next home game, not till October 27th, when Ovechkin and the Capitals come to town. But, you know, 3-2-1, okay? That's not great. That's not great, but it's not stinky either. It's not stinky either. They went in, they beat Detroit, got a great comeback win versus Columbus, come home, crap the... Oh, they lose in overtime, I'm sorry, to Minnesota. Come home, crap the bed. Okay, they stunk. I was at that game Friday night. They stunk versus San Jose. Luongo wasn't good. The defense looked bad. And then last night, coming back, playing a solid game versus the Edmonton Oilers. Tonight, Luongo out, Danny Savarin in as the goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, you do the math. This is their seventh game of the season. So if Savarin gets in one out of every 7 games of the season, he's on pace to play almost 12 games this year. There is no way Danny Savarin, unless Roberto goes down or goes to poop, there is no way Danny Savarin is going to be playing 11 games this year, okay? Or 12 games this year. This is 7 or 8 is all he's getting into this season. I mean, that the over-under's got to be 8. Now, I take the under. I got Roberto at 75 games. I could be wrong. Trevor Linden, healthy scratch for the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Should be of note, but we'll get back into the Canucks in a moment. How about this Edmonton Oilers team this season? You know, they got 3 wins so far, and Edmonton this year, coming in, you know, they lose Chris Pronger, they lose Mike Pekka. Everybody was writing Edmonton right off the ship this season, and the Oilers, they're not looking too bad, are they? They're once again, you know, they're getting outshot a lot. They had that great comeback win versus San Jose last week. Ryan Smith, natural hat trick in 2 minutes and 1 second, broke Wayne Gretzky's Edmonton Oilers team record that night for fastest hat trick in Oiler history. You know, give them credit. Edmonton this year, they're apparently a very, very fast skating team this season. And the Oilers, you know, I don't know. People were saying this team is going to be a little stinky. They have not been this year. So the Canucks, you know, it looks like Colorado might be a little off, but they are in a tough, tough division this year, especially if Edmonton proves to be a half-decent team. Because we know Calgary's going to be all right, and Minnesota seems vastly improved this season, so we'll find out. The Canucks this year, though, an incredible lack of depth, especially on the blue line, among other things. Well, pretty much everywhere. Is the game I didn't mention is the 3-2 loss to Colorado. I didn't mention that one. But a huge amount of lack of depth for the Canucks this year. Sammy Salo, he was injured for Friday night's game, and you could really see that one standing out. You know, they really only do. Kevin Bieksa has been all right this year, and he's getting a lot of points, but they really only do have those 3 proven solid defensemen in Sammy Salo, Matias Olin, and Willie Mitchell, and that has proved so far this season to be the case. I mean, that's what it's added up to be, is the Canucks, you know, just a big old lack of depth at the blue line position so far this year. We'll see how that one plays out. You know, an injury, you know, a nagging injury, especially to an Olin or a Mitchell or a Salo, I mean, could be real big for this team as the year progresses. Luc Berdan has not been good so far, but it's so early in the season. If they put him back to junior, that's where he is for the season. I do not want to see the Vancouver Canucks do that. Keep the kid up for now. Give him another go. He might get it going. And you would just hate. You don't want to pull the plug on him already. Yeah, you got to use that $850,000 to go bring in somebody pretty good, maybe even a Brian Leetch. But Leetch is tempting, though. But I would personally, my Leetch, if you get Leetch, we'll talk. But Luke Berdan, let's just stay with him for now. Forward position. I was at the game on Friday night, and my friend and I are watching it. And it was literally, oh, Naslund and the Twins are out there. How good are the Twins this year? But, oh, good, Naslund and the Twins are out. And then it would be, okay, Naslund and the Twins are up. So how are you doing? You know, and you talk to him, oh, they're out again. Okay, time to watch. I mean, it is quite something when those guys get off the ice. What happens to their forward lines? It really does take about all 14 steps back. And the second line, you know, Morrison, Bulas, Pyatt, or Kessler, Morrison, Bulas, Kessler, Morrison, Cook, Kessler. You know, that's kind of the one I like, is Morrison, Cook, Kessler. Put Bulas down there with Burrows and Pyatt. Pyatt does have 2 goals this season, I believe is the number, but... Ooh, it's going to be a stretch this year. And, you know, my friend was at that game last night, and he said, I didn't watch it. I was playing tennis. And quite frankly, I'm a little upset that I missed the Monday Night Football game. That's the thing with these pay-per-views. I'll get to the pay-per-views in a second. But, you know, he said it, this Canuck team, you know, they played very defensive. You know, it wasn't the run-and-gun game. But, you know what, I'll take it. I'll take a hard-working team this year. And I'd rather follow that and watch that than these run-and-gun guys that disappear when the going gets tough. You know? Whatever. That's just me. And they try it. Well, whatever. Anyways, pay-per-view. I don't like it. 17 games on the pay-per-view. Same as last year. There are apparently pay-per-view problems for people who bought it last night from Shaw. You know what I got to say? Quite frankly, for me, it was Monday night. I'll watch Monday Night Football for free. Thank you very much, and if you bought that pay-per-view last night, you missed a hell of a, I missed everything, but you missed a hell of a Chicago Bear-Arizona Cardinal game. And the Monday, the pay-per-view game that irks me, that gets on my nerves, is January 5th, the game everybody's going to want to watch, Todd Bertuzzi coming to town, and they got that game on pay-per-view. Come on. Canuck, I don't know if you saw it in the paper, most expensive ticket. In the NHL, belongs to the Vancouver Canucks, on average. And, you know, you're selling out every game, making all this money. Just take that one game. It's almost like a gift to your fans, you know, a tiny gift, but a gift nonetheless. And make that one free. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And I personally absolutely do not like that. All right, folks, Canucks playing the Oilers 6 o'clock tonight. Quite frankly, I'm going to go home and watch the baseball game. But that's just me. Anyways, folks, maybe I'll flick. You're listening to 101.9. Maybe I'll do work. How's that? I should go do something productive. Anyways, folks, you're listening to 101.9. Well, we got a caller here. Let's see what's up. I was about to go on break. Yeah, what's up?
So I say thanks for the departed tickets.
What?
Thank you for the departed tickets that you, the pass there you gave me.
Oh, the movie!
Yeah.
Was it rocking?
I was all right.
Oh, was that the,
Matt Damon, Martin Scorsese.
That one's all the rage, hey?
It was all the rage.
Yeah, all right, cool. Nope.
I just wanted to rage about the most expensive beer in the NHL as well at the stadium.
I don't think it is the most expensive. Well, it can't. Can it be more? It's $7.50, right?
$8.
Well, you're getting the good stuff.
Oh, okay.
you're getting the good stuff. All right, let me ask you this, okay?
All right,
so obviously the answer is... Yeah, and keep in mind, you're paying a pretty penny to get in there, too. But, you know, say you're spending $30-$45 to get in, and we're not going to the lower level. Okay, what is our way around the beer? What's the best economical way to drink at a hockey game? What do you do? Do you have, like, you drink a little before, then you have one throughout the game, but then you're still spending $25?
I say you get, you know, like, those, when you drive like a bicycle, you get those like backpacks that have like the water in them.
Yeah,
they're really slim.
Yeah,
wear one of those under your jacket and go in the game. Or you get one of those old like sheepskin things to put underneath your armpit.
You know what? I can't promote it, but good idea. But I do not condone it. I do not condone it. Awesome. Thanks a lot. Are you? Did you get the pay-per-view last night?
No, I don't. I wouldn't want to pay pay-per-view to watch games. It should be on CBC. Should carry all the games. I don't see why they don't.
$13 cost, eh?
Horrible.
Well, and the one that gets me, you know, I personally like. I think on a personal level, there is enough games on free TV. I do give them that. You know, they are giving us 65 games this year, and you can go to a bar and watch a couple or have some friends over every now and then. The one that does get me, and I just said this before I called, I don't know if you heard me, is January 5th, Todd Bertuzzi coming to town. It's a Sunday night. NFL playoffs are going to be going on at the same on the same day. There might be a Sunday night NFL playoff game going on. Todd Bertuzzi's first game back, that one's on pay-per-view. I don't like that at all.
Of course it is. They're going to make money out of it. Now I have a question for you.
What?
What do you think of Barry Bonds' best friend outing him in the trial that's about to go on for Barry Bonds? Are you following that at all?
When did this happen? This is...
This new. It just came out in the New Sports Illustrated with Barry Bonds' best friend, who's like was a sidekick. They called him Mini Me. He Barry Bonds screwed his best friend. He actually sued his best friend because he sold some paraphernalia that had his signature on it. Best friend for like 20 years. He sued his best friend, and now his best friend is his the key witness in. In the case against Barry Bonds in the steroid case.
This is fun to follow.
Yes.
I'll go read the article. I got to read the article first. But I don't know enough. But anything against Barry Bonds is okay with me. Unless he's wrongly accused, but he's not. Okay.
No.
Awesome. Thanks for the call.
Hey, no worries. Have a good show, man.
Okay. I do not condone smuggling liquor into a hockey game. All right. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We are going to take a quick break here on Wiener's Barbecue. When we come back, if I get a hold of him, but this guy's always around, Julio Caravada, color commentator voice for BC Lions Radio. He's going to be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Singer, always been a real close family. Lately, some of my old kin folks disowned some other boys and me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Hey, I leave me alone, I'm singing all night long. It's an old family tradition. Don't ask me why do you drink. Alone, we're singing all night long. It's a family tradition. I have loved some ladies. I have loved your name. They both tried to kill me in 1973. When that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in this condition? I said, hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on. Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you smoke? Why must you live out the songs that
to give me friction. I say, leave us alone, we're singing all night long. It's a family tradition.
Everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue. Julio, how you doing?
I'm good. Daryl, how are you, buddy?
Did you hear that song?
Loved it.
Do you know that one?
No.
Oh, you don't know it?
Why do you smoke and why do you drink? Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. Hank Williams.
Oh, was that Hank Williams, really?
Family tradition.
Oh, that's great.
Do you know that song?
No. No.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that.
I thought you were a country boy.
And I am a country music guy, yeah. I know you're right.
You know Hank Williams.
Oh, yeah,
Hank Williams Jr. we're talking here.
Yeah. He's a little bit on the more crazy side, wasn't he, than Dad?
Well,
although Dad liked to tip him back a bit, I think, too, didn't he?
Yeah, and I do hate to say it. Hank Jr.'s, you know, made it farther down the line, I think.
Yes.
So, I don't know. You hate to say it like that, Julio, but
yeah, you're right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know who we could say is crazier, but there's a song, Julio, Family Tradition by Hank Williams Jr. I love it. Also,
it is good. It's a catchy little tune.
It's huge. I think it's big. I don't know. It's won me over.
That's tough to do.
It is tough. I told you.
Yes.
I've been looking for a band now to follow. Granted, I don't think Hank Williams Jr. is going to be the one. I've been looking for a band to follow since my band Fish broke up 3 years ago. Sad but true, Julio.
Uh-oh.
Sad but true. But Hank Williams Jr., for those of you that don't know, opens up what show, Julio, every Monday?
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. He's the guy.
Yeah, and then who do they have opening up Sunday night?
They have a guy?
No. It's a woman.
Who is it?
Pink.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm not down with the scene, Julio. I'm not down with the scene. But Family Tradition, that was for you.
Thanks, buddy.
So I gave you a new country music song. What's the score in the baseball?
I don't know. I just got back from the park with my little girl.
Nice, good work.
And I don't know, but I am going to find out for you.
All right, that's okay.
I'll try to find out for you because, you know, I know that you want to know.
I'll live either way.
I know you will.
I'll live
before we're finished, I'll have it for you.
I can always go online, you know.
I actually, you know what? I am online right now, and I am just clicking onto it.
Live radio, nothing beats it, huh?
Live radio. This won't be live radio. This will just be me trying to get it on the internet.
Atta boy.
And get a score. Yeah, I don't see anything. Oh, hold on. 0-0 in the first.
All right.
It has it here. Yeah, 0-0 in the first. Who are we pulling for?
Oh, the Mets.
You want the Mets,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah. The best.
Is this? I know there's got to be a story because you got the Mets hat.
Visor. Right? Visor.
The visor that you wear all the time.
Well, it doesn't. It's so dirty and gross.
I will wear it out.
I will wear it on Saturday, actually.
Nice.
Just for you. I will wear it. Nice. You remember that, hey?
Of course.
My Mets visor. Here's the story with Shea. Never have I been to a more, for a major sporting event, okay, to a more hospitable environment than Shea Stadium.
Really?
It was unbelievable. My friend and I, the greatest people in the world, were in Shea Stadium that day. I want that to be my city. Is the 7,500 of us that were there that day.
Cool.
It was during the Republican convention was in town. I was there for my friend's wedding, not the Republican convention, don't worry. But across the street was, so the Republican convention's in town. The Yankees are playing that night. The U.S. Open's going on across the street.
Wow.
It's an afternoon game on a Thursday, the end of the season, and the Mets suck. Okay, so my friend and I get up, and we're going to do, we met a bunch of people at Yankee, but we did the subway that
day.
We did Yankee, Mets in the morning, Yankees
at night. And what's that, the number 7?
I can't remember, Julio. Okay. We're in no position at the end of that Met game to remember subway. But we got there. Anyway, so we get to Shea, and we're late. It's like the third inning, and we walk up, and there's this guy, he's kind of like a homeless-looking guy, sort of hands my friend 2 tickets. We don't know what they are. And he looks at, and we're like, well, what are you doing? Like, they're 2 pieces of paper. And he looks at us, and he's just like, here, take them. We're like, okay. So we don't even really know what's going on right now. We're approaching the box office, and all we want to do is get into a drinking section. That's our whole goal with our seats. And then we get about, I don't know, 10, 15 steps. 2 guys come up to us, and they go, what do you got? Oh, those are uppers. Here, have some lowers. We're like, okay. We walk into through the stadium turnstiles, and my friend said we could have given the guys a piece of toilet paper. They would have let us in.
Really?
And we go down, and we sat about row 2 behind the dugout.
Really?
The Mets dugout. It was a beautiful game. And there was a guy, because it was the end of the season, there was a guy who kept bringing beer to our seat and selling them to us at a discount price. We figured it was like the end of the year. He's probably going to quit his job after, you know, and he's just sort of like stealing them. We don't know. That we met these 2 kids. They were loving the game. We were on the Jumbotron 3 times.
Wow.
Like the group of us, but we were on the Jumbotron.
All the stars were lining up for you. Did you go out and buy a lottery ticket? Like,
nope, nothing. I bought a visor.
You bought a visor.
That's my Met visor. And I got a picture of me with a beer in my hand at row 1. We ended up sitting in row 1 for a little bit.
So you're thinking that maybe that if you keep wearing the visor, that some of that luck will come back.
I just like the visor, Julio.
Okay.
I just
All
like
right.
the, I got. There's no luck involved.
Okay.
This is just my day at Shea, Julio.
This is your day at Shea. That everything just seemed to be going your way.
But what happened? But the people around me were beautiful. It was one of those crowds. There was like 7,500 of us there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those things where when you heckled. Like, I was heckling that day, and when you heckled, like, pretty much, you know, everybody in the sections across could hear you. There was, like, 3 of us heckling, and it was awesome. I was on that day, too, heckling.
Cool.
I was a good heckler, and, yeah, that was my day at Shea, Julio, and I love Met fans because of that.
Cool.
So, that's
good
it.
Good story.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
What about you? Who are you rooting for, Cardinals or Mets?
I'm pulling Cardinals.
Why?
I don't know. I was pulling for the Cardinals when they had Larry Walker. I don't know. I just like to see them win.
Do you know Larry Walker's retired now?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, good.
But when he got traded to the Cardinals, I kind of started falling. I was pulling that for them, and now you know I'd like to see them win.
Yeah.
You know, the Mets said, I don't know. Although I am a Delgado fan, I'm just not big into a team just going out and just, you know, buying everybody up and trying to, you know.
And great, great baseball fans in St. Louis, no
yes.
doubt about that.
Yes.
You know what it is? You know what? And this is where I think hockey has to get the message, is you go to Detroit, you go to St. Louis, they're traditional hockey markets, especially Detroit.
Uh-huh.
But they're baseball towns.
Yes.
They're not hockey towns.
Yes.
And these are 2 markets, that,
yeah.
especially Detroit, that hockey counts on.
I think, too, is outside of really the Oakland A's, usually the teams that get down to crunch usually they've got great fans.
Yeah.
So it's always, I told you this many times before, Daryl. I'm one of these guys that I really like baseball, but I won't watch during the regular season because it for me it's a bit painful. But I don't know what it is that draws me to playoff baseball. But I think maybe as a kid when I went through that series when I worked with the Jays when they hosted the American League Championship against the Kansas City Royals, and they ended up losing in Game 7. But
blew the 3-1 lead.
Yeah, they blew a 3-1 lead. And ever since then, like being a part of that series and seeing playoff baseball up front and seeing the intensity of every pitch, and I'm hooked. So I love playoff baseball. I just like to see, I like to see a team that hasn't won win.
Right. So. I don't like the wild card, personally, and I think it hurts the playoffs once you get to these series. Yeah. I'll put you this way, Julio. Under the old system, I said this at the start of the show, where you had to be a real top team to make the playoffs. You had to be. Only four teams made it.
Yeah.
You had to put a better team together to win. You did. And, I mean, let's face it. You had Steve Traxel versus Jeff Suppan in Game 3, and you had Reyes versus Oliver Perez in Game 4, I don't think you'd have that under the
system.
Yeah,
but at the same time, too, though, Daryl, like with a league that goes for so long with so many games, it just seems to me that, in a lot of cases, people really kind of lose interest. Like, some of these teams are done after the first month of the season.
I think that's awesome.
You think that's awesome?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I like the fact that, in the past, like, since the wild cards come in, like, there just seems to be way more going down the stretch. Like, I'm much more interested, and I was telling you about the regular season, I'm much more interested in baseball come September, late August and September, than I obviously watched in October, than I've ever been since the wild card. Well, I just pay more attention at that time because usually there's a lot going on, there's a lot of teams involved. And I mean, come August, there was a ton of teams still in it.
Maybe I'm a better fan than you.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you hit it right on the head, Daryl.
No, I never took BP in Tiger Stadium, though.
Yeah, no, I got that one on you.
And the worst part is, my worst moment in baseball ever will be when I was broadcasting UBC, is I had it set up, or he said he'd do it. Jeff Francis was going to pitch to me.
Oh, really?
And I never did it. I never followed through on that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, how cool would that have been? That would
have been pretty cool.
Yeah. So.
I got a pretty good baseball collection.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, baseball, the actual baseballs.
Oh, really?
I got a couple of good signatures.
Yeah, you got them as the bat boy, eh?
Yeah, or I was on the ground crew.
Julia, I do have to say, before I cut you off, I heard these stories on that memorabilia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, you did.
We heard a lot of people's stories that day.
Yeah, there were some good ones and some real bad ones.
Awesome. CFL time, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, Julio, is it weird right now? I mean, are we a little upset? A little bit of you upset that the last three games of the BC Lions season don't mean any much? Does it take a little, any excitement away from the end of the season here? Do we wish it still mattered? Or are we just loving the Lions in the conference final? They're going to be hosting, and they're looking good.
Yeah, I'm kind of split on that. I think that I would like to, as a fan, see, the games mean a little bit more coming down the stretch. But I also love the fact that the Lions have clinched and are going to host the Western Final. They played just so well the last, 10, 12 weeks that it's been a lot of fun to watch them play. And now that they're not really playing for much, it's a little bit different than the way we've been watching them. Like last week a few days ago in Calgary, it just wasn't the same team. They got off to a good start early on. And it just seemed like, oh, here we go again. And I think they just kind of let off the throttle. They just really said to themselves, here we go again, right? And Calgary was playing for way more. They were way more intense. And I said to a couple of the players afterwards, because we took the same flight home as them, that as terrible as they played and as unenthused and without intensity, they still only lost by 7 points. Like, Calgary was laying it on the line. They were coming, and they were trying to – they were so badly trying to blow the Lions out for their own sake, for their own psyche, that you could see it was hurting them. They were trying so hard. And, to me, I just think that it's going to be a great – stretch drive for a couple of these teams that are going to be really trying to find that momentum and find that groove. But come November 12th in BC Place, it's all going to go through the BC Lions, and that should be a hell of a game because I know that the players were disappointed with their performance, and I think sometimes, Daryl, you need to have a game like that when things don't matter for you, because I got the sense afterwards talking to a lot of them that they were a little embarrassed and that they were just like, listen, we just can't let that happen again. We're a much better team, and this whole business of us, you know, having nothing to play for is ridiculous. They need to go out and really kind of make a statement to the rest of the league that this wasn't just a fluky run, and that they're not a team that's going to just, you know, fall apart come the Western Final, that they're going to be the real deal. And I think you're going to see a much, much better effort come Saturday night.
So, Julia, what kind of game are we looking at Saturday night? I mean, Hamilton's coming to town. They're completely out of it. And I got to wonder, Julia, is it because Ottawa's out of it? I mean, BC, their last two games at home versus non-division rivals. Not a good schedule. I mean, if it mattered, this is not a good schedule.
Yes, yes. And that's really kind of out of the norm for the schedule. It just goes to show you how screwed up it got this year with Ottawa dropping out, because the last few years it's always been Saskatchewan at home. To end the season, or, you know, Calgary, somebody that it was going to be, you know that there was going to, something was going to matter, or the game was going to matter. So it's unfortunate the way it is, but you look at someone like Winnipeg at the end of the year, they're going to be playing for something. And I just think that the Lions realize the importance of heading into the playoffs with a lot of momentum. And the Lions are the most talented football team in this league. Now that I've seen everybody play and down the stretch and all that kind of stuff, they are the most talented team. This team should win the Grey Cup. And I think the players realize that they've got a very, very good opportunity in front of them, that they can take this thing all the way. And that loss to Calgary maybe refocuses them and gets their attention at the game at hand. And I think it's a big game in the sense, too, that Dave Dickinson, it looks like, may play and see considerable amount of time, and I think it's important for him to get out there and show his stuff. And anytime you play a team that's playing for jobs, you can never take them too lightly, and that's what Hamilton's doing right now. A lot of those guys are playing for jobs, and if any of us were in their shoes, you could imagine the kind of effort that they want to put forward, knowing that a lot of these guys may not get invited back based on what their effort level is at the end of the season.
Julia, old CFL player you are, Edmonton misses the playoffs for the first time in 34 seasons. Are you still smiling about that?
Well, I'm smiling, but at the same time, you know, the Eskimos, I think we all kind of, we were envious and jealous of all the success that they've had. They've had an incredible run. They're a great sports town. They have great fans. If you look at the game that they played against Toronto, they're a team that's struggled all year, and they had 40,000 people at the game. I mean, that's incredible to me. So I'm you know, a little disappointed, because they provide so much great drama come playoff time, because they usually have such great teams, and it's unfortunate, I think, for the league and that they're out. But, you know, for me, they've had a long run, and to allow somebody else a chance to get in there, it's pretty sweet.
Julia, we're low on time here, but I want to play a quick clip. And you are a color commentator, Julio?
Yes.
Okay, I want
last
to get,
time I checked.
I want to get your thoughts on this.
You should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat.
Julio, could you hear that?
Let me guess. Is that the guy from Miami?
Yeah. Let me try it again.
Kick. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat. I was about to go down the elevator and get in that thing.
Did you catch it that time?
I was about to get down the elevator and get into that. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So are you going to do that?
What's his name?
I don't know. He got fired, though.
Yeah, I know. I heard he got fired. Yeah, and with comments like that, you wonder why. You mean, come on. Give your head a shake. And I understand that college football down there, you can get pretty attached to your team and your loyalty, but at the same time, that was disgusting. At what point do you have to step outside yourself sometimes and just think to yourself as a rational adult what you're seeing there and say to yourself that there's nothing good about what's going on down in that field. And it's a shame that someone would actually even think along those lines.
So you think firing that guy, they had to do it, huh?
Oh, God. I mean, come on, Daryl. That's not the kind of message you want to be sending to, you know, to your college student body, that, you know, that's a necessary course of action for, you know, talking some smack and doing all the rest of it. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You ever seen anything quite like that, Julio?
Well, I've seen your share of you know, brawls at the end of games as far as football goes, where guys lose their temper and, you know, where the odd guy might start throwing his helmet and stuff. But, you know, the clips that I saw where, you know, the one guy was wheeling, you know, throwing his helmet around, the other's another guy come off the bench and he's kicking some guy on the ground. Like, those things there, and if you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I just caught the tail end of some stuff, so I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I understand that is it Florida International that they played?
Yeah.
That they had 18 players were suspended?
There's a ton on both teams. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking that if a couple of those guys, you have to send a strong message. You know, there's just no room for a guy coming off the bench and kicking and stomping on a guy on the ground.
And there are lots of gang tackles going on.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I mean, but for kicking and for throwing your helmet and that kind of stuff, it's almost like those guys, if they're not kicked off, if anybody can justify that to me and say that, it's a one-game suspension, that's a pile of crap.
Right.
And they wonder why there's things wrong with sports today. There should be zero, and I mean zero, tolerance for that kind of behavior.
Kicking and throwing helmets cowardly in any arena.
Exactly. Zero tolerance. And you have to realize that in the throes of a game, and I can understand the passion and the emotion, but you have to realize, like the rest of us have to realize, that if you do something like that, there are repercussions.
Awesome.
And you have to be accountable for your actions. And if they don't lay the law down with those kids and say, listen, there's just no room for that, I'm sorry, we don't accept that at this university, see you later.
Julio, we got to get going. So you're going to find this song?
Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why?
You're gonna find it?
I gotta find. Is it a new release?
No, it's way old.
Yeah. I'm gonna go on one of the music things tonight and try to download it.
Family Tradition. Hank Williams Jr. I just found it. All right, Julio. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you Saturday, Dale. Thanks very much, bud.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Eric with Flex Your Head is coming up right now.
Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink?